All right, señora.
75.
That help of the helpless abide with me. Four stanza of 75. Enjoy one more song, and then we look into the preciousness of God's word again. Señorita Grace.
77.
That's very close. Just turn the page, and here it is. Son of my soul. Wow. I don't think if we ever seen this, we're going to ask your daddy to come in. Has been a good sign. So I'm going to cut it a little shorter so that we can have the luxury of looking a little more into these wonderful expressions of the book of Revelation. It's coming to you, and this is the studies on the book of Revelation, will you reach the microphone to Brother Jack Asangen, who is going to read for us verses 7 to 13. Revelation chapter 3, please, if you turn your Bible, verses 7 to 13. These are the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church, and a very fantastic and wonderful message inserted on the last words of the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Jack.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, in that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved them. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the saint saith unto the churches."
Bless thy word. Give us encouragement as we see a church that was walking with you. Help us to see what characteristics were there exalted by God, and how these people were approved because of their walk, uprightness, walk with you. Lord, help us to meditate in thy word. In Jesus we pray, amen. Again, you participate with me, be kind to raise your hand so those who are listening, and I had two or three emails saying that people listening, sometimes if we speak, these microphones who are flying over the auditorium doesn't pick a voice, will take my voice, but will not take your voice as you talk. So you raise your hand as you want to participate tonight. In the beginning, we're going to just make a review of Revelation very quickly. In chapter 1, we have two, in Revelation 2, remarkables paragraph. The first one is a preface in verses 1 to 3, where it's stated one important thing that I want you to remember always. As you look in chapter 1 and in verse 1, the book starts with this word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in my remarks, I said, it is a revelation, not a mystery. Because a lot of people say, well, we're going to teach this book of mysteries. And the very beginning says the book of Revelation. It's amazing. So in the preface, God just stated, it's a revelation given to Jesus Christ about from the time you will see the church unto the end. Events will happen during the centuries before the end and events after their coming. And then there is a cover letter, all right? I love when you correct me because that's the way I learn, by the way, the correction. You know, I have learned when I taught kindergarten, they were teaching me the little kids as I was teaching them when I was in seminary. It's so beautiful to learn, and somebody called my attention, it's not a covering letter. I was feeling good with a covering letter, you cover warm yourself, but it's a cover letter, all right? And then the cover letter is about who. Remember about whom? Just learn a few principles. It is a revelation or a mystery. It's a cover letter about Jesus. That's it. And people make the book of Revelation, oh, the mysteries, oh, the events. It's about Jesus. And you and I got Jesus, so we're going to know. November. In November, we're going to dance good because it starts really telling about the events to come. Right now, it's easy. It's the churches around here. But when we start chapter 4, the events to follow. Chapter 5, the heavenly setup and so on. All right? Now, we are in chapter 3, but chapter 2 describes in chapter 3 a personal letter, personal letters to the church. And we have, I cannot see from the pulpit, we have Ephesus, wary and well-doing. We have Smyrna, do not surrender was a message. Pergamos, do not let the world come in. Remember, the church was very popular. Thyatira, check your curriculum, watch out what you teach. Sardis, there was a horrible church. Remember last Sunday? It was a horrible church, and God said, wake up. They don't say, I closed the church, it's bad. God said, it's a horrible church. Now today, we're going to enjoy it. The Church of Philadelphia, keeping on being faithful is a message, and this is a faithful church. Now, we're going to talk about the Church of Philadelphia, all right? You're in the Bible with Revelation chapter 3. And who is the recipient of the letter? The Bible is starting in Revelation 3:7, unto the angel of the Church of Philadelphia. And we have learned that the angel, the word angelos in the Greek, that's the way you pronounce it, angelos, A-N-G-O-L-O-S, angelos means messenger. And the pastor is a messenger, so to the minister of the church. And the minister of the church has few things to do. Well, that's why the letters are addressed to the church. Somebody can go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, and you will see how the minister of the church is really imposed to do something to the congregation. All right? So anybody have it? Then Brother Jimmy has got the microphone here for you. All right, Joby, you got it? All right, give it the microphone to Joby. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2.
Okay. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
All right, what's the ministry of the pastor to the church? That's what the letter is to the minister, because he's responsible. Responsible, number one, to do what? To preach the word. Preach the word. That's a no-no. The pastor will preach psychology, or the pastor will teach you history. Those things are good. And we do teach history. Remember in the class we have and so on, in a special class. But when we come together, the pastor has one objective. He preached the word. All right? Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. You are in 4:2b. You cancel with the word. Will you read it again, Brother Joby? Give the microphone to Joby and leave it there. Again, the same verse, slowly. The same verse. 2 Timothy 4:2.
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
All right, the pastor needs to preach the word, but also, as you see those alternatives, don't you think it's a counseling? So I said the pastor has to preach the word, and then maybe we can put a little hymn book in there, and then we raise this up a little bit so the people in the back can see it better. A hymn book under the support of the projector. All right, and then we slower the thing. The key is this. The pastor needs to counsel, as we did this morning. We counsel with the word, all right? All right, and there is another important part of the, thank you, my brother, another important part of the pastor work, which is very clever. You have to be patient with people. Will you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 2 now, verse 24 to 26. And Dana, maybe you can read that for us. And it's very, very clever, you know, how you deal with people. And the Lord has given me a gift to do that. Be patient with people. Listen to the scripture in 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26.
And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Thank you. Now, why the pastor has to be patient, say those verses? There's a word perhaps. Why the pastor has to be patient? So perhaps those who oppose, those who are unbelievers, you see, they have to come to the knowledge of Christ. If you become antagonist or a debater, then you become argumentative. What do you gain? Somebody's argumentative with you. How do you react? You were now fighting. You are presenting an argument. But if you are patient and know when to cut off your words and pray and come back again from another angle, that's the way the pastor teaches. So the letter, the recipient, according to Revelation 3:7, is the pastor. Now, look at who is the speaker, all right? Let me go again, Revelation 3 and verse 7. The Bible said to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, that is true, and that hath the key of David. All right, now we have to find out what that those things are. The speaker is holy, the speaker is true, and the speaker has the key of David. So these three things has the speaker, so we'll have to find out who is it. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. And Jimmy, give that to Russell Goodman, and he will read. Can you read that dark place of that, Russ? It's okay to read from there? Or it's too dark over there? Okay. Russell will read for us Acts 26, excuse me, Acts 4, 26 and 27.
The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together.
Thank you, Rice. Now you see verse 27? The speaker of Revelation 3 has to be holy. What Revelation 4, verse 27 said, for the truth against thy holy child, Jesus. Holy, consecrated, separated. All right? Now, the speaker has to be truthful. All right? And we know these in John. So does anybody want to go to there? In John 1:14 and then John 14:6. All right? Let me see. Jimmy, will you... give these to, you got it, Brother Greg? Okay, Greg will read it for us. John 1:14, and then we jump to 14 in verse 6.
John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right, John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6.
John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Thank you, brother. So the scripture in Revelation 3:7 is saying, here's the speaker. He's holy. He's truthful. And all of these references so far refer to Jesus. Now, have the key of David's Jesus. Have the key of David's. That's a little tricky, all right? Let's go to Isaiah, all right? Jesus Christ has the key of David. That's maybe a little bit unusual statement from the scripture. But we can look over there and see what really that means. Has the key of David. First, we need to start with Isaiah then. And there in chapter 22, and verse 22. Does anybody have it there? Yes, Brother Ken has. So you give the microphone to your dad. He will give it to us.
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open.
All right. So the Holy Scripture said in the Old Testament that God will give the key of the house of David, which is the key of the house of David. There is many, many Hebrew words for the word a key. In the Wyckoff Bible, they have the Hebrew word is Eliakim. And Eliakim is, and he should have the authority of David. Key in Hebrew, depend on the word they use, is the meaning. And so the text should be read, and the key of the house of David will lay upon Eliakim, authority in his shoulder. All right? And if you go back to Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 18, when Jesus is given the great, known as the great commandment, we have there the declaration of the Lord Jesus. All right? And what Matthew 28, 18 says. All right? Darlene, you got it there? And here's Darlene in the front. And get the sheet, read for us. Matthew 28 and verse 18.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Okay, what Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And in order to imply that that power come from heaven, he said, in heaven and on the earth. He could say on the earth and under the sea, but he said on heaven and on earth, implying that the power that Jesus is talking about is a celestial power. So if we go back to Revelation in chapter 3, I know what happened. My good friend, I'll be faster next time. Okay, if we go back to Revelation chapter 3, and in verse 7, said, lo, the angel of the church of Philadelphia, the pastor, to the minister, write these things, said he that is holy, is true, and have the key of David, or the authority of David. We know it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we compare each of these factors with the scripture, who describe nothing else than the Lord Jesus. Now, we have in verse 8 the commendations, all right? Let me read it, verse 8 again. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. All right, here are the commendations given to the church. All right, let's look on it for a moment. Now, the church said God gave an open door to the church, and the church used the open door. All right? Let's go to John 20 and verse 21. John 20 and verse 21. Give the microphone to Anthony here so that he can read it. John 20, 21. The church, the Bible said in Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. God did it. God opened the door. Go ahead, brother. John 20, 21.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.
All right. So that's the open door. God has gave them the opportunity to preach the gospel, and they use it. Now, God gave our church many open doors. I mentioned one of them. At least I come to my mind three open doors in our church. All right. One is right here. We are here. We have the doors open every Sunday to teach. That's an open door to teach. All right? What open door we have? Anybody?
Radio.
We have radio. What else? The internet is powerful. It's a secret. Even from England, I got from the BBC a letter. It said, is your church the same church of English here? It's called internetchurch.com. Is that your church? No, no. We're not the Church of England. We are an independent church. And boy, everybody looks on it. And there are people who are looking for titles and things like that. And the Lord gave us this opportunity, and we have the opportunity to have the internet. People in their comfort of their home, 2 or 3 days from now, they can download this sermon that we have here tonight, because it's a store over there, or a Bible class, right? That we have in the afternoon with the questions and so on. So it's amazing, the open door. And we need to use the open door. God gave this open door. And also in verse 8, Revelation said, before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. You know that? No man can shut it. So don't worry about it. If the internet is closed to church, God shut it. No man shut it. No man shut it. It was, oh, if Kerry becomes president, the church will be in trouble. No. The church will be in trouble when God closed the door. And I never saw in the scripture that God closed the door of any church who preached the gospel. God closed the church when the church did not preach the gospel. But if the church preached the gospel and preached the word, God's not going to be against himself, he said in Matthew chapter 12, 32. Then the church preached the word, said, for thou hast a little strength. What do you think you mean, thou hast a little strength mean? I'm trying to look, and I don't find any Bible reference so I will not fabricate it. I will not, but I have an idea. Let's see. But that church who was so good and used the open door has a little strength. Well, that maybe means, Russ, what do you think?
Yes. Strength might be that they do have some strength down
there.
They have some strong sources.
They have strong sources, but not in a big splash manner. Is that right? It was not a 10,000 members church with a tremendous capital and so on. It was just a standard church, okay? So the opportunity of the church was not from the church and their power. The opportunity was from God. God gave them the power. And then the church has convictions. Look at here in verse 8. They said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Two things the church has done. Has kept the word of God and not denying the name of God. So let's look at this scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Will you give the microphone to Mary and see what, right here, Maria, excuse me, to Maria, all right. Señora Maria, right there. Okay, the Spanish section, the only Spanish section of the church, all right. Okay, and 1 Timothy, First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Yeah, the church has conviction. They preach the word. They don't say you have to pray in the name of Guadalupe or the name of this. In the name of Jesus, all right? He's the mediator. That's conviction. Let's go to Romans 8:34. Okay? Let's see. Grace, do you got it? Romans 8:34? Will you give the microphone to your sister, Grace? And she will do it. Romans 8:34. A church with convictions, you know. This issue of mediation, if you are around Roman Catholic people, sorry to say, it's very big for them. They have to go through a mediator. I know that through the, with Leo, we had a lot of fun in the coffee shop because the women get upset about it. And they asked me, said, where do you get this idea? You have to be only through Jesus. It's in the Bible. So, the priest said, you cannot interpret the Bible. See, again, we go through on and on. The church, Roman Catholic Church, never changed. It's always the same. Shut off the scripture from the people. And Grace will read us Romans 8:34. I told you that Jesus, the mediator, look here.
Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Who make intercession for us. Romans 8:34 clearly said Christ make intercession for us. And the church has conviction. The pastor of the church was not a him. Does anybody have Colossians 1:18? Okay, give it to Devin. Look at the head of the church was not... the pastor. Look at who was the head. Go ahead.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
I want to teach you something on that, but he is the head of the body, comma, the church. So the Bible defines a word over there. You see that? That's the only authority we have. when we say in the Bible, this word body means this, is when the Bible does the work that the Bible did under their reading Devin. And he is the head of the body, the church. So I had no doubt that the word body is used in the Bible as a definition of the church. Christ is the head. So the church has convictions, and the commendations were outstanding. The church has an open door, and God gives you open doors, and you have to use it until God closes that open door. Now, the encouragement of the church, verse 9 and verse 10. Behold, said verse 9, Revelation 3, 9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jew and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So let's take that chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. What do you think? Let me ask you first. What do you think when the Bible says, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jew and they are not? Brother Doolittle and I were, and Brother Ross, we were talking after prayer in Sunday school, something very similar this morning. Brother Lilo, tell us what your old pastor say about Christianity.
He said that if going to church makes you a Christian, then going in a garage makes you a car.
That's absolutely good, and I thought it was very, very profound, because you know that's what they said. Look at here in Revelation 3:9 said, which they say they are Jew, but they are not. You know what they say? Why they say they are Jew? Why? They? Yes.
Because of their
physical heritage. Because of their physical heritage. But if you go to Galatians, no, everybody who calls themselves as a Jew is a Jew. We are the sons of Abraham too, spiritually. All right? And that's the spiritual Israel. But Israel doesn't understand that. The nation of Israel think we are the people of God because we are born on the Israelite race, sons of Abraham. But God always has a spiritual meaning to it. And so look at what God is going to do. Look at in verse 9. God is going to do or going to save the very enemy of the church. Look at here. They say they are Jew and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved them. God is going to save them. So God is going to save people who oppose it, that makes opposition to the ministry. We don't have to argue. We don't have to make wild statements about what's really going to happen. God's going to intervene. He is saving. He is bringing people in and out. And so God said, don't worry, those who say they are Jew and do you know they are not, I'm going to make them to believe. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 14, let me show you what the scripture says. Thus said the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, that's Saudi Arabia, men of a stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. You know what Israel do with this verse? The other day I heard a rabbi preach. You know what they do with this verse? They think that when the Lord comes, the nations of the world will have to do merchandise with them, and they will become the first nation of the world in business. Doesn't say that in the text. If you look at the text, it says, they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. It has nothing to do with business. And they said, and there is none else, there is no God. In other words, God is always saying, and the Israel of God is made of Jewish people and Gentiles, the Israel of God. God, we don't have to worry about the unbelievers. We don't have to fight the unbelievers. We don't have to go in the streets and proclaim their sin and so on. We have to preach the word, and God is in charge of saving them, even in the worst conditions. So that's the encouragement. I listened to a preacher when I went home after lunch, and a good preacher from Houston, Texas. And man, he was bringing a stone against America, how terrible it would be. He carries president. These things, this business of homosexuality and intermarriage, and how terrible will be America, and our children and grandchildren will be destroyed, and so on. And even though the sermon was correct, the only solution is to preach the word. By putting laws to overcome, the only law that will overcome is a law that comes into our heart and change our heart. That's what the Bible says. All right. Now, we have here in the encouragement, God is going to save the church enemies, and then God shall vindicate the believers at the final judgment. Look at in verse 18. If we go to Revelation chapter 3, we get to verse 10, you will see there that the scripture said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or trial." That word temptation is the Greek word trial, from the hour of trial, and is krino, the hour of judgment, which shall come upon all the world, not upon the church, but upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. And so God shall vindicate the believers at the final judgment. We don't have to judge the unbelievers. We know who they are. We have to judge in order to know for ourselves who they are and what they do. But we don't have to pronounce a judgment on them. God already pronounced a judgment. And if you don't turn around, the Bible said, "We shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And so therefore, the final word is always of God. Do you remember Philippians 2, 9 to 11? That's a great passage. Let's see. Who will read it? Oh, no, darling, you don't know how to read yet, but you will. You will know how to read. Okay. Yeah, all right. Who, Brother Jack, do you have Philippians? Who has Philippians 2? Okay, Brother Jack, have it. All right, give it to Brother Jack. Philippians 2, after Jesus, Remarco said he humbled himself and became like in the likeness of men. Look at what happened at the end, verses 9 to 11.
"Where God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
All right, thank you, my brother. Here is the beauty. God's going to take care of all the details at the end. We only have one job. What is the job that we have as a church? Actually, it's two things we need to do in a star with P. Preach the word and praise God. Praise. I was studying on Wednesday night. We do the Psalms, and we just finished Psalm 1, and how beautiful it is with the two men, the two visions, and the two destinies. You know, the word Psalm is a Greek word from the Septuagint, but Tephilim is the word in Hebrew, which means a poem to be seen with harps. And, you know, look at the book of Psalms. How many Psalms do we have? 150. That's a lot of them. All right. Which is the largest Psalm?
119.
All of them were for music. And when you go to Nehemiah, and by chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, he get mad at the people. You know why? Because they don't have a choir. He said, "Where is the choir to praise God day and night?" Watch out. You are in the choir. Maybe the choir there. Say, "Hey, you have to come in the night to pray." But you know, that's a good attitude, don't we? To praise God. See, they teach your children to sing and to praise. I wish they will. They taught me. Maybe they knew I was. I cannot get it. But, you know, I envy those who can sing, pray, play like Grace and Anthony and so on. I always talking to Brother Plick. I say, look at that. Oh, man, I feel so dummy. They are so good. It's so good to praise the Lord with Raquel play the piano at home. It's just so beautiful to praise the Lord. Praise and preaching go together. Now, what is the counsel to this church? In verse 11, behold, I come quickly. What does that mean? I mean, the God veil? It's 2,000 years ago, this. So, I come quickly, or I come soon, some of the Bible said. All right? What does that mean? You know, I try to find the meaning. I can't find it, but comparing the scripture. But if I'm looking at the scripture like that, I would say, come quickly, say, don't worry about when I'm coming. I'm coming, but don't worry about it.
Talking about, though I tarry, I'm not tarrying.
Yeah, yeah.
Though it looks like I'm delaying, it's not a delay.
So, should we worry? Yes.
1,000 years is a day.
1,000 years a day. You have it in the book, First Peter, and then Psalm 90. They said, you know, both of them, they said the same thing. So, what do you think is teaching to us then? Yes, Brother Russ.
Quickly to me doesn't mean exactly when they're coming, but he's going to come. Surprisingly fast when he does come.
For sure. He's going to come for sure.
And fast.
And fast. Yeah. So, no, pardon me? Yeah.
Not ready.
Yeah, in other words, that words keep us to be ready. All right? That's what you're saying.
People are going to be found not to be ready.
But yeah.
He's going to come fast.
You know, in people who are well-meaning, they're trying to find out when the Lord come in. You know, and I want to tell you, this is wasting your time. Because here they say, I come quickly. When? Quickly. Trying to find out what quickly is. Well, the closest you get in the Tyndale Bible is soon. And the translators, English was coming from German, Anglo-Saxon, and from the Wales into England. And the Brits said, we don't like that. And King James said, well, quickly is a better word. And they choose quickly. But quickly is how quickly is quickly? We don't know. See, we don't have to measure and spend our time in calculations. All right? So here it is. Christ is coming soon. All right? And let's look in some scripture. Philippians 4, 5. All right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. All right, Brother Mick, you got it, that one? All right, here it is. Give the microphone to this young fella. All right. Well, at least he thinks he's young. But, okay. Philippians 4, 5.
Philippians 4, 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
You know a nice word? The Lord is at hand. It's like a quickly, you know? The Lord is at hand. Who has a Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37? All right? If you get it. Mary, you think you got it? Hebrews 10, 37. Mary Cassangel. This is Maria, and this is Mary. Now, all right. All right. All right. In Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 37.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry.
All right. A little while, and he that shall come, will come and will not tarry. See, there's another alternative. James chapter 5, verse 8, okay? You can go through scriptures like that to find what quickly is, and there is no defined statement from the Bible, all right? Greg, will you have it? James 5, verse 8, go ahead.
James 5, 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Yeah, establish your heart, you know, and just, in other words, you don't have to lose the time in trying to see when the Lord come and what it is. We have to remain faithful. So here's the counsel. Christ is coming soon, and Russ is correct. Some people will be caught surprised, but we are not, because we are expecting him. We should live a day like a Christ is coming today. I think that's the best way. And then, be faithful to the end. And Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. What do we have? Jesus. Salvation. The peace of God. The comfort of God. Hold that fast, he said. Hold that fast. All right? Be faithful to the end. Look at in Revelation 2. In verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. So our business is being faithful. Remember 2 Corinthians 4, 2? The steward shall be found faithful. And that's what the requirement is. All right? So the counsel is, watch out, fellas. Don't, if you're going in a race, sometimes in the treadmill, there in the gym, if you have another young fellow on the side, another gal, and the first thing they do, they watch your speed, and they watch your level. And they start very low, and very soon they feel watching. Some of the people are so conscious that they put a towel on it so that nobody can see it. But because of pride, you know? And I watch it too, you know? And if I'm in four, very soon a young fellow will pass a 4 mile per hour to five. So I put them in five. Now that's... and then if they see I'm in five with them, then they raise a little bit the level to 2%. Oh, boy, I know. I raise it 4%, you know. And then they look at on it, and they, you know, they jump more. Even Raquel the other day was going up. It's amazing, you know. You are watching your conscience of the other fellow to see who can do it more, all right? God said, watch to the end, watch to the end. Don't get loose in the world and the affairs of the world. It's good to do all kinds of activities and things, but don't lose the focus from the Lord. Okay? Now, the promise in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. Let's see the promise. All right? I will make you a pillar, said in verse 12. Him that overcometh, or him that keep on, I will make a pillar in the temple of God. What that means? I will make you a pillar in the temple of God. All right? Just because of the time is too much. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are leaving stones in the house of God. So a pillar means you're going to become alive in the house of God. All right? I will keep you secure. Look at verse 12. Him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. In other words, I will keep you secure. You cannot get out from the temple of God. Once you're a Christian, you're a Christian, and God's going to hold you into that. And I will receive God's name. See here? They said, and shall no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is Jerusalem. What's the name of God he will write? Do you know it? I don't know it. Nobody knows. There is a name of God for earth, but nobody knows what the name of God in heaven will be. Say, I will have a name for God here, Exodus 3:14. My name shall be Jehovah. But I will have a name that no man knows of the scripture. And that name will be yours in heaven. I will have a name of God in that way. All right? And I will have a new citizenship. Look at what the Bible said in verse 12. In the name of my city, Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon them my name. And so having the name of a new city is having a new citizenship. And in Philippians 3:20, remember the Bible said we have a new citizenship. You have an American passport and a heavenly passport. All right? That's the beauty. Now, the $4 million question. Look at in verse 13. He that had an ear, let him hear. Who's the speaker? What the Spirit says unto the churches. So do you hear what God is saying? All right? As concern to the ministry. What God is saying as concern to the ministry? What do we need to do? Be faithful. Preach the word. Praise God. All right? As concern to the future. Be ready. That's the word. Be ready. You got it. Thank you, Father. This is a good class. We review things. They are beautiful. And we can keep talking and talking the whole night. But, Father, the few things that we learned tonight, help us to keep it afresh. We have a week ahead, many alternatives, jobs, mothers with children. Some of these mothers, Lord, are teachers. And we pray that you give them patience and love and care, because what they're doing now will last for years to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a church who loves you and who cares about you. In Jesus, I thank you. Amen.